and ye shall live. Sinew and flesh come on these bones and skin. Then he prophesied to the four winds, and ye breathed, and came into them, and they lived. Saints of God, this is the power that the church has. God told him to prophesy to these bones. And when he prophesied to these bones, the skin came on those bones. Sinew came on those bones. And then skin, flesh came. And then skin came. And then he prophesied, told them to prophesy to the four winds. And the breath came into them. And then they lived. Saints of God, the church has power. You know, we have the real power of God. And if we believe, we have unlimited power over the devil. But for this power to flow, we have to be obedient. And we have to be committed to God. Our heart has to be toward God. God's church is one that is unstoppable. It has powers and ability, and it can't be stopped ever. Saints of God, we need to remember this, that we serve a God that's unstoppable. We are a church that's unstoppable. We have unlimited powers against Satan. So we need to begin to use those powers. And how do we do it? Let's get into the Word of God. Let's fast and pray. Go back to the old landmark. They used to fast and pray. That's what the disciples did. They fasted and they prayed, and the power of God came down like rain on them. So we can do the same thing. In order to have that power, we're going to have to fast, we're going to have to pray, and we're going to have to keep our lives clean and unspotted before God. Amen and amen.
All right, family. You have been listening to the Spiritual Warfare Broadcast with Evangelist Wanda Bell. You can connect with us on Facebook at Evangelist Wanda Bell, or you can write us at Evangelist Wanda Bell or Spiritual Warfare Ministries at P.O. Box 5884, Alexandria, Louisiana, 71307. Tune in every Tuesday and Thursday, same time, here on KAYT 88.1, as we go deeper in the Word of God. This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria, 88.1. The gospel is on your radio. Call a friend. Tell somebody. 88.1.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel, this is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised Word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's Word for your life today.
If you'll turn your Bibles to the book of Luke chapter 2, Luke chapter 2, and I just want to lift out for your reading verse 44, Luke chapter 2, verse 44, recorded of these words, "But they, supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey, and they sought him among their kinsfolk and acquaintance." May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy word. "But they, supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey, and they sought him among their kinsfolk and acquaintance." When I first read the text, I thought about speaking from the subject, don't leave Jesus behind. I read it again. But they, supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey, and they sought him among their kinsfolk and acquaintance. And I got something else, and I thought about talking from the subject journeying without Jesus. And then I read it again, Brother Barnes. And, but they supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey, and they sought him among their kinsfolk and acquaintance. And I thought to speak from this subject, you can't go far without Jesus. So whatever topic works for you, I'm gonna talk today from you can't go far without Jesus. When Christ was 12, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem for the Passover commemoration. And on the way back home, they thought Jesus was in the company, in the crowd, amongst kinfolk and or acquaintances. But we'll note that there were three things in this verse that I want us to look at, just so that you'll understand. We're going to talk about the realization of Christ's absence, one. Then two, I want to talk about the result of Christ's absence. And then three, I want to talk about the reasons for Christ's absence. Now let's go back to the realization of Christ's absence. The record is that they went a day's journey. And Joseph and Mary didn't realize that they had left Christ, that he was absent. And after they had traveled a whole day's journey towards home, listen, the record is that they discovered, they were supposing that he was with kinfolk and the acquaintances and the company that they traveled with, because most times people from different regions would get together and they would travel in caravans, and within these caravans they would have kinfolk and acquaintances, neighbors and friends all traveling together to make the transition a more easier journey. And so they had become friends, they had friends, they had family. And so it was no strange and unusual thing that kids would play up and down this traveling group of people, and having fellowship with certain families, spend certain hours with that family's children, and others would come and spend with others' children as they caravaned and journeyed as they were making their way back home, or in the case of going to Jerusalem. That was a normal thing. So it was not very unusual that Jesus would be a part of this group of playing with the other children in the other families and friendships and kinships. But the problem that I see in the text is they were supposing. They were assuming. And any responsible parent is not going to suppose or assume that their child is present. They're going to make them accountable. And even if they are going to play with the other children or be with other family members, there's going to be some word, some knowledge, acknowledgement of the fact that, Mama, I'm going down there with Aunt Susie. I'm going to be with Aunt Mary. I'm going down with John and his mama and them. And that would be some acknowledgement. But they did not get that from Jesus. They did not know. They did not take inventory. They did not make sure that everybody was together when they got, they just supposed. But even in today's time and that would happen, they could have been reported. Yeah, for not knowing. The record says, but they supposing him to have been in the company. That speaks great, great, great trouble about there being focused on, listen, it wasn't a situation where Jesus was that kind of child, that he had that kind of mentality to rip and run, because the word is going to reveal where Jesus was and what he was doing. But the first thing was the realization of his absence. Now, first of all, here is the problem I have with this again, that they went a day's journey before they realized he was absent. A whole day's journey. What happened? Why wasn't he there for lunchtime? Snack time. Just check-in time. What happened that they had to go a whole day's journey that nobody said, "Have you seen Jesus?" Now, I've been in the malls, and I've seen some places, and I've learned children's name and never knew them in a day in my life, because their mamas were calling them so many times. And matter of fact, a lot of folk in the mall was like, "Jerry, will you get on back over there to your mama? We ain't know Jerry, but she had hollered a thousand." Jesus wasn't like that. But they went a whole day's journey, my brothers and sisters, and discovered that Jesus was not there. Listen again. Many find out too late that he's not with them. And they've gone a little too far. They've gone a day's journey on their life schedule. Many people go into different business adventures before they find out Jesus is not with them. Some folk go into relationships and they get hooked before they realize Jesus is not with them. Folk pursue certain goals and desires in life only to discover Jesus is not with them. I don't know how far you've gone before you've discovered Jesus is not with you, but here's what I do know: when you make that discovery, you're gonna have to make some changes. They recognized Jesus was not with them. They supposed that he was with some of the relatives or some of the acquaintances, but when they checked with the family and checked with the friends and found out Jesus wasn't there, the caravan kept on going. But they had to change their course. And listen at this, because I want you to see this here, because the results of Christ's absence was they had gone a day's journey, and traveling without Christ cost them considerable progress. Cost them considerable progress. Why do you say it cost them considerable progress, Pastor? First of all, they went a day's journey without him. That's one day. They have to go back a day's journey to find him. That's 2 days. But the record is that they spent 3 days looking for him. Luke 46, look at that. And it came to pass that after 3 days, they found him in the temple. Now, they lost progress on the journey. They were traveling in numbers for safety and for comfort and for convenience, but they lost 5 days of progress because they supposed Jesus was with them. Yeah. Now, may I tell you, my brothers and sisters, a whole lot of us lose a lot of progress on our journeys when we suppose the Lord is with us, and we've got to turn around and we've got to regroup and we've got to get it back together. And we look at all we've lost because we didn't make sure before we started out that he was with us on our journey. We've had to go back and make this thing work. They go back a day's journey, so those 2 days that they spend just traveling. The issue again I have is they spent 3 days, and finally at the end they decided to check in the church. They looked everywhere for Jesus but the church. 3 days of looking for him. They said, "Now, where would a 12-year-old boy be? Where would he hang out? Let's go back and see the places, the sights, the sounds. What might have attracted a child this age? What could be of interest to him?" And they checked all of those places first. But look again at the text, my brothers and sisters. Verse 46 says, "And it came to pass that after 3 days they found him in the temple. What was he running around acting crazy? And nobody had to tell him, boy, sit down, shut up. Nobody had to give him a rebuke or put him in order. Look at what the word says, because it's interesting. He was sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. Now listen at this. He's 12 years old. Now that's the last place they would have expected a boy of that age to be. They just assumed he was somewhere else. But Jesus was in the center of the ring, sitting down, listening to the doctors of the law, letting them explain to him the matters of the law. He's listening intently, so much so that at 12 years old, he's got questions for him. Some of y'all sit in church on Sundays in Bible studies and ain't never got a question. I know you're deep and heavy like that and you got it all and it all makes sense. But Jesus wanted to take it further at 12 years old and make them further explicate, further make sure they say what they're saying with knowledge. Here he is questioning the doctors. I want you to see this, my brothers and sisters, because we're talking about the results of Christ's absence. And so she recognizes, Mary, his mother, that something's wrong. They've lost progress, but listen at this, because I want you to see something else. They lost pleasure. They lost pleasure. Mary told Jesus they sought him sorrowing. Look at the word, because I want you to see this. And this is important to recognize. Look at verse 48. And when they saw him, they were amazed, because he was in church. And his mother said unto him, son, why hast thou dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. So for 3 days now, they've lost pleasure in the journey. And all that they had gained from this momentous occasion that they do and partake in every year, all of that had gone down the drain, lost the pleasure of the fellowship with family and friends, of going and being a part of this great Passover, because they 3 days sought him and couldn't find him, and they were sorrowing. But not only did they lose progress, and not only did they lose pleasure, but the record is clear, they lost peace. You can't lose your child and still have peace. The sorrowing was evident that the peace was no longer there. And listen at this, they thought that Jesus was dealing with them in an ungodly, unrighteous, and one that in a manner that was not within the keeping of what they thought he should have been doing. Look again at the verse 48. And when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? In other words, she's asking Jesus, Jesus, why have you done this thing to us? Why have you hurt us like this? Why didn't you tell us that you wanted to remain here a little while longer? Why didn't you communicate with us your desire to be here? Listen at this. Jesus hung out there for 3 days. He didn't even really know they had left. See, when you really have a good time with the Lord, can I tell you, you lose sense of timing. The only time you're watching the clock is when you ain't having a good time. That's in church or anywhere else. You'd be looking, ooh, Lord, where did the time? Jesus, where did it go? But when you bored, you looking, tick, tock, tick. You catching it in, like, Lord, I just looked at the clock, and that was, looked like it was 3 hours ago. It was only 3 minutes. But Jesus was where he wanted to be, doing what he wanted to do. And look at what Jesus said, because this is important. The Bible says that she wanted to know why had they dealt with them. And verse 49 says, and he said unto them, how is it that ye sought me? In other words, Jesus, no doubt, when they perhaps were in the service, remained in the service when everybody else left out. He's literally saying, how were you looking for me when I was in the same place I've been for the last 3 days? Are y'all hearing me here? We were in the temple together and you just assumed I left, but I have not left this place since we came here. So he's amazed that they're saying, where have you been? We've been looking for you, when he's never left the place they brought him to. They left Jesus. Jesus did not leave them. So he said, how did you seek me? How is it that you sought me? Then he says, wist ye not that I must be about my Father's business? Didn't you know? Now look at this, because I want you to catch this, and if you read too quickly, you might miss this. Mary said, me and your father. Let me go back and read you just like it says here. The Bible says in verse 48, and when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. Jesus says, how is it that you sought me? That's the first question. I was right here all the time. Second is, didn't you know I must be about my father's Joseph is my stepfather, but I have been about my father's. He was not trying to be disrespectful, but he was putting in perspective the reality that he knew whose he was. And while she was looking at this thing in the natural, he was looking at this thing in the spiritual. And so he had just been 3 days in worship and in learning experience. He has been in a spiritual context. She had been in a natural context. She comes back to the spiritual place and she's talking natural talk. And Jesus was saying, wait a minute, don't you realize it's time now for me to get my father's business in order? But Jesus said some things to her that she had forgotten about. And this was a wake-up call. This was the time and the age where he was coming into the awakening of what he had been called here to planet Earth to do. He was bringing all of those things into focus. Now I want to read a little further and just see what the word says. Verse 49 says, again, and he said unto them, how is it that ye sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about my father's business? Verse 50, and they understood not the saying which he spake unto them. In the flesh, they didn't really understand that. Joseph wondered what they're talking about. You being about my business. Well, Joseph, he wasn't talking about your business. He was talking about his heavenly father's business. Joseph was messed up about that. Mary had forgotten that was God's son. She bore him, but his father was God. And so it was a reminder, even though at that point they did not fully comprehend what he was saying or what he realized. And look at verse 50 again. And they understood not the saying which he spake unto them. But notice Jesus now in verse 51. And he went down with them. He didn't argue. He was not disrespectful. When they came back and got him from the place that he was in, he submitted to them. He surrendered to them. As a child, he recognized his place. He was simply caught up in a spiritual moment. And in that moment, he was so enthralled in the presence of the Word of God, the fellowship of those who knew God the Father. And so he was absorbing like a sponge this knowledge that these men of God had. And so there was the place of his spirit. But when they came back to get him, The Bible says, again in verse 51, he went down with them and came to Nazareth. Now, he went down with them. Jerusalem was a high place, and every other place, it was the highest place in the land. So every place from Jerusalem was always a place down. And he went back with them, would be a better interpretation, and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them. He obeyed them. He surrendered. He submitted himself like a child should do to his parents. Listen, but his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. A mother, after Jesus said that at 12 years old, never forgot again that this boy was different. He was unusual. He was unique. He was peculiar. And so we recognize, my brothers and sisters, that as this word progresses, these people could not go far. They were his parents, and they could not go far without him. But lest I help you one more time, and I do want to do that before you leave, so that you don't leave Jesus behind, let me just suggest three reasons why they left him behind. Because if his mama and daddy left him behind, can I tell you, it is arguable that you can leave him behind just as well? Well, let's look again at the word. First of all, if you look at the word, verse 43 says, and when they had fulfilled the days as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother knew not of it. When it was all over, they're like a whole lot of us. We get in a hurry. When we stand for the benediction, by four, I can finish saying amen, good. Pew! If you got a child, that child is hitting one leg every now and then, hitting the floor. They just, I mean, you pulling them all out of here. You want to be the first one to crank up and get on up out of the parking lot, don't want to be in the crowd. So may I suggest to you that the first reason that they forgot Jesus was because of haste. Haste. See, sometimes we get too much in a hurry, in a rush, to get away, to go on, to go with life, that we leave the most important person in life. And that's Jesus. Look at where they left Jesus. In the church. Some of y'all rush out of here on Sunday mornings and you're so quick in a hurry, you leave Jesus. That's why folk, you know, upset your nerves so quickly. That's why, you know, things bother you so badly. That's why you can't deal with the stuff, because you went to church, had a good time, met Jesus in the church, but you were so busy getting out of the church that you left him in the church instead of taking him along with you. Some of you came drive home. Somebody cut you off. You were just singing praise, lift him up. Now you calling them so-and-sos and rolling your eyes and waving with one finger. Y'all ain't got to act super spiritual. I know. So in a hurry, if you'd have had Jesus with you, you'd be calm, cool, and collected. But they left him because of haste. But then I want you to know there's another reason why they left. And may I suggest, too, this is probably one of the most plausible excuses. It was because they were occupied with the business of getting back home. Now, usually in caravans, they usually had an order. They usually had a structure. They usually get together. And the way they came usually is the way they went. And so people lined up. And so whether it was by age or whether it was by popularity or by profession or whatever the structure was, usually when they realigned themselves in the caravan to go back home, they had to get themselves together, because if they were in the front of the line, they had to hurry up and get themselves together and get in the front of the line so that they can start moving forward so everybody else could fall in line. And so maybe they were occupied, perhaps preoccupied with getting back in their place, and they just assumed that Jesus was right behind them.
The teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II offers help for today and hope for tomorrow. Dr. Montgomery would like to know you are being blessed by this program. Our email address is info@greaterkingdavid.org. That's info@greaterkingdavid.org.